This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Turtle Journey, Synchronicity and the Universe, and the author is Cynthia. And Cynthia joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi, Steve.
Well, this is going to be a journey of the mind and heart. You've had a lot of special experiences. This is deemed fiction, but it's based on your personal experiences, so we'll learn more about this fictional character that you name Stella and her family. And I want to read what you've written about Turtle Journey. You say this: "This is the journey of my life. The friends I have always known. Hopefully I share my wisdom effectively so others can open their own life to the multidimensional reality that I know exists for everyone." And as you put it in another place, you say, "This story is about one of the journeys that Stella experiences incarnated here on planet Earth. It's about her family, the paths she walks, and the people she meets along the way." So we're going to talk about this reawakening to this interconnectedness through the dimensions, as you put it. First of all, Cynthia, tell us why you wrote the book. What motivated you to want to share this in this special way?
Well, it was an internal nudging that I kept receiving, you know, like intuitive messages coming to me. But initially, I woke up one morning with the title, Turtle Journey, Synchronicity in the Universe. And I speak telepathically to my guides all the time, you know, and my first question was, well, what's that all about? And I heard quite clearly, you're going to write a book. Now, this is going back 7 or 8 years ago, so I kind of laughed at that and thought, sure, what's the book on? And it was my life. And I had been journaling for quite some time, and reading back through my journal reflected that, yes, well, there is interesting stories in here, and my childhood memories were returning because I had been doing a lot of self-growth work, if you like, and shedding off the layers of, what could you call it, doubt that we pile upon ourselves when we grow into human life and go through the conforms of everyday society, and realized that my childhood was quite interesting, and I was just getting back in touch with all of these guides that had been around me in my childhood. Of course, as I came into adulthood, I kind of went to sleep a little bit and didn't hear my messengers as acutely as I had earlier. But that's because we don't listen. We get caught up in everyday life and we let our brain, you know, that organ that lives in our head, we let that take over from our intuitive self, which I believe comes from our heart space. So I said, well, if I'm to write a book, you're going to have to show me how. And it took another 5 years for the thread to actually come together so I could bind the story into a journey, if you like. And the synchronicity, well, it just all unfolded. Does that answer your question?
Yes, very well. Why is it important to have intuition? Do we all have intuition?
Yes, we do.
But we ignore it, is what you're saying?
When we go to school, it really comes into play because we're taught to conform to the rules and regulations if our parents haven't already instilled that in us. And conforming to the rules and regulations means you must be the same. You know, you've got this set of rules and you can't go outside of those boundaries because that's not normal. And so we don't really ignore it, you know, consciously. We just get conditioned to not listen to that intuition, which always comes softly and with love and encouragement. Our brain starts taking over. It becomes patterned and programmed, and of course it's always loud and is there making the most noise and tells us why we can't do what our intuition is telling us. So we listen to the loudest voice instead of that quiet, loving nurturing that comes from deep within. We all have it. But it's like anything, you know, it's like a muscle. If you don't use a muscle, it becomes dormant and is not strong and won't work effectively. So we need to reactivate, and that's why I call it reawakening. When we tune back into our intuition and do things like meditate and let our mind go still, so we can hear that inner nudging, that inner guidance, which never sets us wrong. It is always, as I said, it is always with love, and it is always encouraging us to do our best at every moment. The doubt comes from our mind, which is our brain. Yeah. So we've all got it.
So we
need, no one is any different.
So we need to somehow keep an open mind, which, how do you do that?
The best step, if you haven't got the open mind, is meditation, you know, because in meditating, you're training your brain to be quiet. You're being very mindful of everything that is around you. And when your brain starts to chatter about everything that you've got to do in your busy daily life, you just inform it, you know, I'm meditating at the moment, I'm being still, I'll deal with you later. And in that act, you're not forcing your brain to be quiet, you're gently telling it, because when we put up an effort to do anything, we block ourselves, and you're not going to meditate then because you're not relaxed. Yeah. So as we do that, we start to then listen to the voices from within again. And it's a progressive step. It snowballs. The more you do, the more you hear. The more you act on what you're hearing, the more that seems to flow. You know, the universe is there for us. And most people are aware of the stories like The Secret, and What the Bleep Do We Know, and Down the Rabbit Hole. Well, they're all based on the same process. It's just understanding and following your inner guidance.
So tell us about some of Stella's close relationships here on the earth and these, what do you call them, messengers? You call them, what do you,
guides? Angels,
okay.
Masters.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now, she has a special relationship with her grandfather.
Stella had a very special relationship with her grandfather and also her grandfather's mother, her great-grandmother, who in her day was a Romani gypsy. And her great-grandmother was very connected, as Romani gypsies are, to everything that exists in the universe, not just here on the physical world. So, of course, Stella's granddad and his mother were quite well aware at a young age that Stella could see the beings, the elemental nature beings that were around and the guides and masters that existed, whereas Stella's mum really was scared of that part of life and didn't want anything to do with it. And Stella's granddad had a discarnate soul, if you like, living in his house, who had chosen not to go to the afterlife because she had a lot of fear. And this young, well, in Stella's childhood, she was a young girl by the name of Ollie. They became firm friends and used to play. And it was a magical, mystical world where Stella and Ollie would play in a room upstairs of her granddad's house where her aunt no longer lived, but her stuff was there, you know, and the wizards would come and there was trees that would have magical rainbows and they would just fly away into another realm and be delightfully happy. And that was how Stella's childhood was. That was one set of grandparents. Of course, her other set of grandparents had morning teas every Thursday where one of her granny's friends came down and read the tea leaves for all of her aunts and great aunts and grandparents, and that was another amazing part of Stella's journey, to be in that environment as well. So it was like the intuition had skipped a generation, and the grandparents knew and Stella knew, but her parents, of course, were very caught up in everyday life and closed off to that aspect of the world.
Now, there's a extended period of time that your book covers.
Yes.
What's the span of years we're talking about?
About 48
years,
okay. Of Stella's journey, yes.
Okay, and it as you put it, it winds its way through a time span of over 200 years. What, explain that.
Well, Ollie, as it turned out, later on in the book, there's a whole section on how Ollie was actually a young woman who had travelled out to New Zealand as a bride in her early days, and she had come on a boat with her partner, or her husband. And unfortunately, when they got to the new country, as they called it, Ollie was pregnant. Through complications, her and her baby died in childbirth. And she chose, there is a boat that will take us all to the afterlife. And when the boat came for Ollie, she was not going there because it was a boat that had brought her to this country anyway, and she was lost and alone. So she was not going on any boat. So she chose to stay within the earthly realms. And when Stella came along many, many years later, Ollie also was aware that Stella could see her. So they formed a friendship. She appeared to Stella as a young girl, and they used to go on many journeys. So that's why I say it spans that amount of time, because, of course, it's another 40 years before Ollie, or Molly, as she informed Stella in her later years, was prepared to actually step foot on that boat and let herself be taken to the afterlife or to the paradise or whatever you wish to call it, for her soul to continue on its journey. So that's why I put that statement there.
Well, this is about family relationships. It's also about relationships with guides, messengers. Are they all around us all the time and we just don't know it?
They are. And so are our families, our family members that pass over and our friends that pass over. They're around us at all times. We are very much human, of course, because we're living here on Mother Earth, and that in itself makes us third-dimensional beings. When you're talking about the universe and everything that is around us, we're talking multi-dimensional. And what limits us in our humanness is our brain, because it is a third-dimensional organ, and it has no concept of what exists outside of the third dimension. It can't understand it. So that is why it keeps us quiet and stops us from all of this interaction. And that's why when we let ourselves meditate and open up to it, we can acknowledge that, yes, there is much more to the world than what we realize. There are the cases of miracle healings. How can you explain them if you don't believe in more than what there is in the physical world? Miracle healings happen because of a profound belief and acceptance that there is more to life than what we see with our physical eyes. And there are many other instances too. You know, the people that don't go somewhere on a particular day that they normally do, day after day after day, and one day they don't go and something tragic happens. The guys who don't, you know, I was going to be on that plane, but I decided I wasn't going, you know, or I would normally be driving there, but I got a flat tire, or I stopped to get something at the shop, so I wasn't there at that point in time. I believe that all of those instances, is their inner guidance and intuition holding them back from a situation that it is not their time to be in.
Now, you say when God created the world, he created all living things as souls first, and he explained the story of life to them in terms of both good and evil and asked them to make a choice.
That is a quote from my book, which is actually taken from the Egyptian Book of Life. And as we know, the ancient Egyptians were very, very attached to the universe and everything that was. I liked that quote because it is true about the choice. We have choice in everything that we do. We are not controlled or dictated to. It is our choice to make the decision that we want for our life, and through our choice we will live the life and be in the situations that we get ourselves in. So there is good and evil in the world. There has to be. It's the balance. It's the two sides of the same coin. We choose which we want to follow. And those that chose to stay right where they were, it says in the book, became the sun of our world, which gives light and life to everything that exists. So that is a quote from page 8 of the Egyptian Book of Life.
We have enough time for some of your closing thoughts. I want to read what you have written, and you can kind of tell us about where we fit into all this. You say, Stella's spiritual reawakening touches us all, regardless of where we are on this mortal coil.
That's true. If we're wanting to open up to ourselves and to our higher lifestyles, then there are lessons, I believe, that are written in the book through Stella's journey, things that she needed to go through herself and to understand once she had closed down her intuition, there are steps that you can take to reawaken those steps. And it is the realization of the inner nudges that are coming to you and how they will help you along the way and following those nudges. And as we follow those nudges, Steve, the world opens up to us in many, many fantastic ways. One of my fantastic stories is my book being published with Balboa. I never presented my manuscript to them. They contacted me. Can you explain that? I can't, but the universe can. And it seems to me it's a message to get the book out there so people can read it if they wish to and make their own lives richer and live in harmony with everything that is around us.
The title of the book, Turtle Journey, Synchronicity and the Universe, and the author is Cynthia. Cynthia, tell us how to get your book.
Well, you can get it direct from the Balboa website, or you can get it from Amazon.com. It's there in both the hard form and the electronic form. And in future, I'm hoping it will be in bookstores. This is just the beginning of the marketing phase. If you live here in Australia, of course, you can email me, or even if you don't live here in Australia, you can email me, and I will more than happily send you a copy of my book. My email is cynthia@hotmail.com.au.
And Cynthia is spelled C-Y-N-T-H-Y-A. Cynthia, thanks for being with us on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you, Steve.